When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to My Take on It with Your Angelic Karma. It is Friday night, January 20th, not the 10th, and we are live once again. Now, we're going to talk about a couple of things tonight. We're going to talk about honesty here, and it is something that I've been looking over. I started looking at it last week, but then I got my mind off of it, and I was like, because this is going to be something tough for me, even though I spoke about this in the podcast throughout the years, but I, like, when it comes in front of you and you're trying to make a decision and having to do your research, you kind of want to put it to the side because it puts you in that position of a catch-22. Now, first off, we're going to talk about eye color. Now, and somebody is stating they are having a little bit of a trouble here with eye color. I guess people always want what they see and they're never satisfied with what they have. And then people become like, you know, they're wanting what they see, and it makes them look at, or they see something and they want it for themselves, or they see something and it makes them look at themselves like that. And it's like, that's kind of something. And if someone, this person is stating, when I see people with blue, green, and lighter color eyes, I just feel my dark brown eyes are plain and boring. All my life, I have felt this way, she states. Now, and she is a young woman. And today is Friday, is the day of love and beauty, all things Venusian. So love, beauty, and money is Friday, is the day of Freya. So that's Venus. Now, so that's what we're talking about tonight. Now, and this person states that even though this, we're going to talk about something else and not this, but this kind of was funny to me because you know, with this, the way that you can feel better about yourself is to know that a lot of people, they want what they see. And then a lot of people, they don't. They're happy with how they are and who they are and what they have. You know, but if that could kind of make you feel better knowing that, just like you're wanting, anybody that is having this issue, thinking blue eyes and green eyes and lighter color eyes, are of something more special than your brown eyes are. You could come across people with blue eyes, green eyes, and lighter color eyes, and they could want theirs to be brown, but not all of them. Some of them may like the color that they have, just like brown eyed people. Some of them think their eyes are beautiful, and they are. And when I saw this, it was kind of funny because I think about the songs that were made. A song came out to me. It was by Rick James, and the name of the song was Ebony Eyes, and that's what I thought about when this came across me. Now, so it's kind of funny. Now, and I would always, I've always called, you call them brown eyes. I call them chocolate brown eyes, like that. So that's why we're going to stop here for a little bit, because I kind of want people to state what they call brown eyes when they see them. Now, brown eyes are quite sexy. Is, you know, most definitely on men. And I'm not talking about hazel. I'm talking about chocolate brown eyes. And this is why they're sexy. And I'm a person that's honest, and I don't say things to make you feel better. I don't say it unless I'm feeling it to be true like that. Now, so you kind of, I guess when people are feeling bad about them, about something, an area of themselves, it doesn't work when they know that people will say things to make them feel better about themselves. And the person is just saying it, you know, like that. I guess when you hear people that are honest that speak, and they don't just say things to make you feel better about yourself, when they say something that is a compliment to you, it can mean so much more. That's the way that I think. I've always called brown eyes chocolate brown eyes. Now, and because for one thing, the especially when they have on black turtleneck sweaters, men are black sweaters or camel colored sweaters, and then they have chocolate brown eyes, and then the corner is very white, and that stands out, and they have a set of good white teeth, that's handsome, like that. I like it. And chocolate eyes, they're chocolate brown. They're not just brown eyes that you have. The eye color for I have green eyes. So is the eye color for, unless I'm sick, and then they get a muddy water green, and then it'll go a murky, dark looking color like that. That's the thing with chocolate brown eyes and darker color eyes. It would be, and I guess it means more to people when they get a compliment from people that have the opposite of what they have like that. So when people with chocolate brown eyes, when you all get sick, your eyes don't always tell the whole story, or they tell a different type of story than people with lighter color eyes would tell. But is your eyes are the way that we see it, that don't have that eye color, they're a edible color like that. Nobody's saying that they want that, ooh, you have beautiful olive color eyes like that. Or they'll talk about blue eyes have been like petals throughout history, you know, and green eyes are the most rarest. So you're not going to come across many people and like that. Some people have striking green eyes. Mine aren't that way. I think people would be scared. A lot of people state that my eyes look strange, so I just try to look away from them like that. It depends. Now, so, but with the darker color eyes, they're like you get like chocolate brown eyes or what they're called. So I want to see what the people are calling the darker color eyes, because there are different types of darker color eyes, but we're going to read what she says. Okay, now she also states, I'm a 25 year old woman and I have lived in the UK throughout my life. In the UK, even though brown eyes are the main eye color, blue are more common. And growing up, I noticed it a lot. Now, brown eyes are the most common in the world, like that. The eyes are supposed to be brown, or they're going to be brown more times than being a different eye color, like that. So that may be why you may feel that yours are boring, because you're going to see more people with brown eyes, and which you don't see all the time. It stands out to you like that. So you're in this person is in the UK, and the majority of the people, they have blue eyes, and this person really notices this. 48% of the British population now have blue eyes. Growing up, I noticed seeing blue eyes from the children in the schools I attended, the general public, and throughout my life. I was always fascinated with how the blue eye color always stood out so clearly and brightly. It was like staring into the ocean or the sky. I used to watch the Powerpuff Girls a lot. I love how the girls' colorful eyes match their outfits. Blue eyes and non-eye colors are so popular in society. This behavior is around us. Blue eyes and non-eye colors are so popular. Look at how romanticized blue eyes and non-brown eye colors are in literature. Blue eyes are described as the ocean or the sky. Green eyes are described as emeralds, and the list goes on. But what can brown eyes be described as, especially if they are darkest brown eyes like mine? It is hard. They can be described as romantic and chocolate brown. Especially if the one that is sporting the blue eyes is confident. Confidence makes every quality that you have better. Like that. So that's what they can be described. Romantic. And soft and welcoming and warm is how they would be described. And as chocolate brown and sexy, if we really want to take it there. Within families, you have prospective parents and grandparents that openly desire their children to have the blue eye or whatever eye color is popular in the family. Before I left secondary school for university, I fell in love with this boy and spent time together a lot during break times. I care about him a lot and listen to his dreams and was always there for him. He couldn't see in front of him, the friend who cared about him. Instead, he always was chasing after the other girls, and she had the most prettiest green eyes. I experienced guys at school choosing the white girls over me. Experiencing rejection from guys made me hate myself and features of my body. I believe if I had blue eyes, I wouldn't be invisible anymore and men would see me as pretty. I have black hair, darkest brown eyes, and brown skin. I feel invisible to men because I have these features. I was confident as a teenage girl and in my early 20s, but the male rejection broke me. Okay. I just went through life just feeling my eye color was boring and not pretty because nothing stands out. When I look in the mirror and see deep into my eyes, I see nothing and it hurts so much. I read The Bluest Eye by Toni Morrison this year and it did help uplift my self-esteem, but unfortunately it was so short-lived. Yeah, because that's only going to be a quick fix. A book or something like that isn't going to change how you feel about the characteristics and qualities of your body. It's just not. It would be good propaganda to get you to buy the book. It may help a little bit, but it's not going to do much to change that. You know, so it is so hard to love brown eyes. I get so confused when people say brown eyes are beautiful and interesting because how can a common eye color be beautiful? I wish I was normal and didn't feel this way. Well, things that are rare. For anybody else that is having this issue, things that are not common to see and rare, they can stand out. Even when we look at things like this one states that her hair is dark, just like if we look at blonde hair and then the eye color blue eyes and it being on that pedestal. And it doesn't mean that those people shouldn't be placed on that pedestal or praised for those attributes because they are beautiful. Some of them, not all of the blonde, some of those blue eyes are scary. And then some of them are quite beautiful. There are different shades of blue eyes, just like there are different shades of green eyes and there are different shades of brown eyes like that. So some of them are beautiful and all of them should be placed on the pedestal. You shouldn't have to kick some off a pedestal and able to praise other characteristics and attributes that people have. Now, so, and I feel that if people like with the, you have this person having the, her having the, dark hair and the dark eyes and the brown skin. I feel that compliments come from people that are sincere and honest and don't just say things that make you feel good. And they also have the opposite attributes like that than what the person that is having the issue with their own attributes have. So that's what I feel. Now is, and I feel that even people with blonde hair and blue eyes, because they have been placed on the pedestal, I feel that is their social and civic responsibility to not be kicked out the pedestal because their attributes are beautiful also. They're very unique. But to praise those that have attributes and qualities that are opposite theirs like that. But not just praise that isn't sincere because people can tell when you're lying. Because a lot of people with blonde hair and blue eyes, not a lot of them, but I'm pretty sure that some of them, they like brown hair and brown eyes, and they can most definitely find the sexiness in them, the uniqueness in them and the difference like that. So is not that you, because you're the way you're supposed to be. And like brown eyes is the majority of the population in the world. Human population has brown eyes and dark hair. So it is common, but that doesn't mean it's not beautiful like that. It's just not unique like that. Unique means it's not common. Unique is something that you're not going to see all the time like that. But with common things, we get accustomed to seeing it. And if we have it, we get accustomed to seeing ourselves. And we come across a lot of people that look like us. That's the good part of it. You can fit in easily. You're not standing out. Because the majority of the world's population has dark hair and some variation of brown color eyes like that. So a compliment from them may not feel as good as a compliment from people that had the opposite or have what you want. And then an insincere compliment, in order to make you feel good about yourself, doesn't feel good from anybody like that, despite their eye color and hair color. So it's like that. And people are always coveting what they don't have. But people that don't have, and then sometimes they're not, sometimes they like it and they find it beautiful. But they're satisfied with how they are. And I'm pretty sure a lot of people with light colored eyes and light colored hair, myself included, my hair color is light. I have blondish hair, honey blonde hair, reddish hair. It decides what color it wants to be on any given day and depend on how light it hits. So there are problems with being like that, inconsistent with attributes of hair like that. So as opposed to being linear, and it's always going to be that way, like that. So, but that doesn't mean, don't think that people with blue eyes or green eyes or other light color eyes or blonde hair or white skin or whatever, don't think that your brown skin and your dark hair and your brown eyes isn't hot. Don't think that there are men that don't think that. And don't think that there are women that don't like it either, because they do. Now, okay, now it's in you're in the UK, but anybody that's in the United States, this person's in the UK, but anybody that's in the United States, it could be that, I guess most people would be dyeing their hair blonde, because blondes are supposed to have more fine. Now, and I guess that's cool and it's good, but I'm a part of the red hair forum, and the redheads are hot headed like that and hot tempered. They don't like y'all dying y'all hair to try to be like them. They don't like it. Now, know why? And this is for those of you that are the same as this girl. She's 25 that is writing, because a lot of times when you have red hair and freckles and you grow up like that, you could get bullied. So everybody wasn't praising it. And the little boy that she liked at school that was chasing a green eyed girl around the playground, you know, maybe it wasn't because of her green eyes. Maybe it was because of something else. Or maybe because he had opposite eyes and he liked the green eyes. Or who knows what it was because of. Like that. Now, let's see. Somebody states, I think brown eyes are beautiful. My husband has soul for dark mocha colored eyes. I like when they describe the dark eyes as edible. Mocha, caramel, you know, chocolate brown is the way that I describe them. Describe them like food, like that. Now, so cappuccino is, and in the sun, you see those beautiful flecks of gold and amber. Nothing plain about brown eyes. And this is coming from someone who has light hazel green eyes. I don't like hazel eyes. I don't like the green eyes that turn to brown. Mine don't do that unless I'm sick, but they won't be brown. They'll be like a dark, dirty watercolor. like how you look at that moss that's at the bottom of the water, like that might be like that. Now, so is like that. So I don't really like, hey, I like amber colored eyes. That's a type of brown. And then we have I like the chocolate brown was the most. Because with chocolate brown eyes, they look so cute, especially when the eyes are big. Like that, not popping out, but they're big and flat. But in that, the iris is big and round. The chocolate brown eyes look so good. And people do like brown eyes. Brown eyes are very sensitive looking. The person looks like they're sensitive or very caring or very innocent. That's why I remember that, show with, I forgot it. It was a cartoon. And they had that donkey on it. And then they had Shrek. Okay, remember how that cat, when he took his hat off and he was holding his hand and he was at the door begging? That brown eyes reminds us that. They couldn't have had a blue-eyed purse cat at the door begging. Somebody would have been like, get away from me, you crazy, strange, psycho cat. Like that, okay. It was like, or a green-eyed cat at the door begging. Like that. But those brown eyes, it looked like so innocent. And you were like, okay, like that. Okay, that's why it's like, it looks like innocent and childlike, like that. Especially when the eyes, because it's the big circle like that. And it's just beautiful. So now, you have to remember that even in... like here in the United States, I don't know what amount of our population has naturally blonde hair. I don't know what percent of our population has blue eyes or green eyes or red hair, even though blonde hair and red hair are recessive. So there's a small percent of people in the world that has that. Now, so whenever there's a small percentage of something, it's always like coveted or looked at or like wanted or thought of as beautiful because it's unique and it's not common like that. But that doesn't take away anything from colors that are not that way. And it doesn't mean that people, and it may make people feel better that have darker features. It would be dark features is what it's called when the hair is black and the eye color is dark chocolate. So you have dark features. It may make you feel a lot better knowing that a lot of people with light features, meaning light hair, light eyes, are attracted to darker features in the opposite sex. Now, or sometimes even in the same sex when we're not talking about romance, or they like that. It looks good because it's different to them also because they don't have those features. So it's not just because you have a darker feature that the light feature should be right and that's what everybody would want. Sometimes the people with the lighter features, they can like their light features, but they can also, it doesn't mean that they do not see the beauty or do not like the dark features either. Like that. It doesn't mean that. So is, I think that women with black shiny hair looks good. When their hair is black and shiny, it's very pretty. Like that. So is, and thick, because it makes it look like it has depth, it looks healthy, like that, it looks full, you know, but with people with naturally colored hair like mine, it makes the hair, our hair is fine, it could be limp, we have to do something with the comb to give it body, or fluff it out with a brush to give it body like that, and we have to do it while all the while it's drying, we have to keep fluffing it, or to just dry flat, like flat on our head and close to our head. But if you have a darker hair, it has more depth. It's thick. It looks like you have a lot of hair. It looks like it has volume that is naturally there. Now, a lot of people with light features don't talk about what they dislike about light features. A lot of people with light features don't talk about what they like about light features because they have light features. And they may be ostracized or looked at as negative for talking about the features, even if they like them and they're theirs. So it could be... But maybe they need to do it more about what they like about their features and what they dislike about it, the problematic of having lighter features, and also what they like about darker features. But they will have to also honestly talk about what they dislike about their darker features to sound credible. You can't give a review and everything is good about it because you're not credible like that. Now, so that's what I feel about it. Now, it is what I feel about that. So we're not going to spend a lot of time on it. I wanted to, somebody says dark eyes look warm and friendly. They do. They most definitely do. Now, so this is what I want. And then we're going to close this out and we're going to go into what we're going to talk about tonight. This, I wanted them to describe the eyes. They can be described as coffee, dark chocolate, amber, a liquid gold when the light strikes them. Dark and deep as the night sky, warm and rich as hot chocolate. You can describe them as onyx, obsidian, or ebony. They can be described as mysterious and sultry. You can also describe them as doe eyes. Yeah, they're doe eyes, innocent eyes. You have innocent eyes. Now, if you're not confident about yourself, it can make the features ugly if they're light or dark. If you're confident about them, it makes them like they're innocent. I used to feel the same way, though, until someone special told me that they love my brown eyes because they're warm and remind them of chocolate. Yeah, chocolate brown eyes. And they are warm. And they are like doe eyes. Like that. They're like innocent. Like that. And it's like the eyes that make you melt. Is what. Imagine being in front of the fireplace with those brown eyes. And it's like, and you're just looking like that. It's like, you know. So, now, that's what I think about them. And I usually don't give out compliments unless I mean it. So now that's not what we're going to talk about. Now, last month, before that, I had been thinking about doing product reviews. I was like, I want to start doing product reviews maybe, even though I don't use any beauty products. But I had been thinking about it. And I was like, I want to start doing product reviews. Is where, because even on the podcast, I get approached by companies to do voice advertisement, for me to do the voice advertisement for products, as opposed to having an advertisement that we're running through the podcast that are running through automatically like that. So I was like, well, I want to start doing some product reviews like that. So it would be where, even though that would be more YouTube focused, I have it where I could talk.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
About a product, you know, or to promote it like that. But I'm honest. And honesty doesn't really carry you far. Now, so even if that honesty is going to help other people, and I'm old enough to know that. So it's like... And I was thinking about doing face product reviews. We're talking about skincare, even though I don't use any skincare products. I was thinking about doing the reviews and things like that. I would be money motivated because I don't use the skincare products and I'm 50. So I would be money motivated. I'm honest. That's what I'd be motivated by. I can't say I would be product motivated like that because I don't use any. So it would be money is what would motivate me to do it. So, and I had been thinking about that and tossing it around in my mind. Should I do it? Shouldn't I do it? And then I thought about it and I was like, I don't know if that will work because I'm too honest. And maybe companies don't want you being honest because it may not work well for them. So I was like, and then I was like, I'm going to have to put the product on my face And I may hesitate in doing that. And I'm going to tell the audience that this is a big step for me. I'm hesitating because I don't know what this product is going to do. I'm being used as a test tube dummy. And I don't know what in the hell it's going to do. So I would be going into that like hesitantly. And it would be money motivated. But the things I do for money, I was like, and then I'm like, what if this doesn't work? What if it messes up my pH balance in my skin? What if it messes up my regeneration cycles? Because my skin is on regeneration. It cycles itself out and it's done it well since I was a teenager and it still does it at 50. So I was like, this is going to be a big step for me. I can't just jump into this because I want some money. I just can't be jumping into this type of stuff. So I was like, I need to think this through before I make such a rash decision. So I was like, okay, because these are going to be creams. What if it, I was like, okay, so that was kind of making me feel out of balance. So I had to put that thought to the side. And then I started looking at it again. And I received a product. Now, it's a skincare product. I haven't used it. I haven't even opened it. I've been staring at it. I received it a month ago. And I was like, and it brought up in my mind again about the big step, and I was like, okay, my first, I'm honest, so I was like, what do I get out of putting this product on my face like that? Okay, and then I was like, hopefully some money. And no, they give you the free product to keep like that, and then sometimes they could give you money. And I was like, well, I feel that I should be treated differently than women that get products all the time and they buy products all the time and they putting all types of stuff on their face. I feel that I should be paid more and treated differently because I don't do that. And what if it messes something up on my skin? Like that. You know, as opposed to me seeking things out and already having been putting things on it. That's a big step for me. So I feel that I should be paid a lot. Because I don't come in with anything that I feel is wrong with my skin. Like that. So I was like asking myself all these types of questions. And I was like, so it's been a month. I've had a product. I look at it sometimes. I hadn't opened it. And then I put it back on top of the closet. And I was like, should I be putting this on my skin? You're going to get enough of doing stuff for money. Like, that's what I was telling myself. Like that. And I was like, and am I the type of person that should be giving a product review? I would not be getting any business from the companies because my product reviews are going to be honest. Because something isn't right, I'm going to be screaming it out to the high heavens. Like that. Then I'm going to be sniffing the product first and walking around the box. And you all are going to be like, you're angelic karma. What are you doing? I'm going to be nervous. I'm going to be like looking at the box and staring. And then I'm going to get my finger and put a little bit on my forehead. And I'm going to be taking baby steps. So I was like, is this the route that I should be going for cash? And I was like, okay. So I put the product back on the shelf. I was like, okay, now. I said, I feel like they should send me a big check for trying this out. Because what if something goes wrong? It's not like, now, I had already been doing that and buying it and doing it. Okay, I should just be getting the product for free because I was already doing all that type of stuff. Or I was trying to change something. But if I'm just doing it for cash and I don't feel anything is wrong, and I feel that it would do more harm than good, and I really don't believe in those products, and I've lived my life without them, I feel that I should be getting big checks to try out anything. And I shouldn't be treated the way the rest of them are treated. So I was like, I may not be the person for you doing no reviews. And then I was like, okay, maybe I should do some lip gloss reviews. I feel safe putting some lip gloss on my lips. I feel safe putting on some eyeliner. I feel safe putting on some mascara. But slathering something on my skin, like moisturizing and all those types of creams, I'm not really into that. Like that. They would have to show me a big check before I even try to use myself as a test tube dummy for anything like that. I take that as a big deal. Now, so I was like, okay, so that's going to be a big step for me that I'm not ready for. Now, so, and I was like, okay. So, then, it came across my mind again today, and I was doing my research the way that I always do, and we have Beauty Tap. Do you all know that website? It's called Beauty Tap. And there's an article, where to find real, trustworthy beauty product reviews. Okay, when you all are on YouTube or on Amazon or wherever, I guess with where you buy your makeup at and your beauty stuff, you could put a review. Okay. My question is, how do you all know that the people are giving you honest and true reviews? I feel that if I gave an honest and true review, the company would fire me and not want me to review their products. Because I'm going to be honest. And I'm going to be upset if I find anything that wasn't there, there. Or and I say it's because of this product. Or if I feel that the pH is bad and balanced. If I feel like I'm going to be looking for that type of stuff. I'm going to be looking, when I use the product, I'll be looking for it messing up how I started as opposed to it doing something great. I don't trust in that stuff like that. So how do you all know who to trust? Like, okay, because I would think that, okay, if the company, if you're going to get free stuff and a check for reviewing something, you're going to be less likely to give a real review because you're not going to get the check and you're not going to get the free stuff. And other companies are going to see that you're going to get an honest review. And they're not going to give you a check or free stuff. Am I wrong? So how do you all know who to trust? Or do you just trust people that you followed for a long time? And you just trust them because they look good with the stuff on? But if it's face cream, and for whatever reason, but then they put makeup on top of it, how do you know that it's working? Like, okay, how do you know that they're not just saying that it's good because they know that they're going to get free stuff and money and another company is going to get them free stuff and money because they have big followings? Like, how do you all know who to trust? And I'm pretty sure there are some of the reviews that you can actually trust and they're giving real reviews for. But how do you know? I would feel that out of 100 reviews, 75 of them should be negative. That's what I would feel. But if you have a lot of negative reviews, if you're really reviewing the product, the company isn't gonna. Another company isn't gonna send you stuff because you're giving negative reviews on other companies, so you're not gonna get the free stuff and the money. That's what I feel. So is, you know, this is what the article is about. This is Beauty Tap wrote this article. Where to find real trustworthy beauty product reviews? Where to find the trustworthy reviews? Because it's kind of like if people are motivated by money and getting something free, or can you trust them to get an honest review? And if people are already accustomed to slathering all types of stuff on their face, they don't have anything to lose by doing that. And plus, they have a lot to gain because they get to keep the product, they get to be known, and they get some money, some of them, for the reviews. So how do you all know who's being honest? They're essential for brand loyalty and success, this person states. Buyers beware. Fake reviews are everywhere. CNBC recently reported that Amazon filed a lawsuit against thousands of Facebook group administrators who have been brokering false reviews. Given the beauty industry alone is currently valued at over $500 billion, this comes as no surprise. Like that. Okay. Product expert reviews. And then they have some of the reviews that are fake. You know, of some of the people that got fake reviews, a lot of them for makeup products is like Kosas Wet Lip Oil Plumping Treatment Gloss. A lot of stuff from Kosas. I've never heard of that. I don't know much about makeup. Anyway, we're going to go down from that. But the majority of people, this article is reading, want to know what others like or dislike about a product before whipping out their credit cards, especially during uncertain times such as these, which makes real thoughtful reviews from a diverse range of individuals, an integral step toward achieving consumer loyalty. Consumers trust firsthand experience more than advertising. Well, and it's kind of good, but it's kind of not if they're getting free products and money from giving the review, the firsthand review. It should have been expected that a lot of reviews would be fake in order to get the money and for more companies to send them stuff for free like that, as opposed to somebody that doesn't risk their face on all types of stuff, and you have to give a large sum of money to test out your product, and they're going to give you an honest review, and they don't like everything that comes across them like that. So is what do you all think? How do you all, or do you all go by, if it's a YouTube channel, that's a beauty channel, if they have a lot of subscribers, they must be being honest? Or if the person is all made up and looks shiny, they must be honest and know what they're doing and know what products are good. So you trust them. How are you all deciding who to trust like that? Now, in a world of product placements, advertorials, and sponsored social content, today's consumers are hyper-conscious about the pitch, quotation marks, which makes it crucial for brands to develop a bond with customers in a non-traditional way. Advertising won't make that happen, so establishing trust often relies on the words, knowledge, and recommendations of experts with trusted credentials and no permanent ties to the company. With inflation rising at its fastest pace in 40 years, consumers are growing more cautious with their spending. And according to a 2019 study on brands and trust, 77% said the good reviews were a deciding factor in their brand buying decisions. More than ever, honest, unpaid, authentic reviews are a precious commodity. So they like the honest, unpaid, authentic reviews because they felt that they were going to get the truth if the company had not paid them. I feel that you're going to get the truth about a product if the person purchased the product themselves and also they weren't paid. And then they're going to tell you the truth because they spent their money on the product. What do you all think? And then sometimes I guess you could trust people that if the company is sending them free stuff and giving them money, you could trust them to give a review if the majority of the reviews are truly honest and negative. If they're liking everything that they got sent that was free, and they're liking it, Houston, we got a problem. Especially if they could give you a code for you to buy it and they get some of the money with you. I'm going to be doing that also. If I start giving reviews, this is what I'm going to be honest with y'all. And I'm going to tell you, okay, like I've told y'all the thing, I want it where they give me the code and y'all could buy the stuff and get a discount like that. And I get some of the money. I'm not doing anything for free. Because for one, I'll be messing up my own face and I don't think anything is wrong with my skin. And I'm going to be taking a chance and a risk in doing these reviews and putting stuff on my face like that and trying out products that I don't trust like that, which would be, I don't trust any of them. So I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell the company I'm not doing it unless I get a part of the money like that. And I'm still going to give an honest review. And I'm going to be looking for things to go wrong so that I can blame the company and the product. That's the type of reviewer I'll be. Hate it like that because of my honesty. So it's like, but it's going to be true. And I'm not going to be doing it for nothing. I'm going to get paid to do it like that. So quality reviews are weighted the same as personal recommendations. I wonder if there are reviewers out there that think like me. And those are the ones that you should trust like that, that are honest about, yeah, I'm not doing this for free. Hell, because I'm going to be messing up something, you know, and I'm really being a tester, you know, because I can live without these products. And if there are reviewers like that, I think that's good. Because remember, the reviewer is looking at themselves. They're experimenting on themselves. They're using all these products and stuff. They don't know. They could come out 10 years and have cancer from all these products like that. It's like, you know, I think about that type of stuff. So it's like, you know, but if they're already buying that stuff, they are taking the risk anyway. You know, so is... I don't know, but if I get into it, and I might, and it'll be money motivated, it's like, because I'm not into all that stuff, it would be because of money, number one, and I would be cautious, and I wouldn't be accepting everything that came in the mailbox wanting me to slap it on my face. I wouldn't be doing that. I would be very specific like that about it, and the review would be very honest. And some of the companies would not like it. I'm going to be brutally honest, especially if I get upset, if something in that product, I will pick up any type of slight change in me, and I'm going ham. That's the type of review I'll be. That's the type of review I'm going to be. Quality reviews are weighted the same as personal recommendations. Before making a purchase, the vast majority of consumers turns to reviews for guidance. According to 2020 Bright Local survey, nearly 80% of consumers trust online reviews as much as personal recommendations from friends or family. And since shopping online has skyrocketed since the COVID-19 pandemic hit, retailers with an eye for growth and longevity need to tap into the review marketplace in ways that align with their goals and objectives. That means getting products into the hands of professionals, not just influencers who seemingly have many followers. When a reviewer's experience aligns with both a brand's values and a consumer's desires, magic happens. Now, okay. So they have an influencer up here, and they have her comment section. She's talking about some lip gloss, and they have all the comments. Micro influencer versus micro community. Scroll through a makeup or skincare subreddit, and you will quickly learn how people feel about unvetted or celebrity reviews. Many consumers distrust their opinions and feel as though the posting parties weren't entirely honest. That's what I would feel. I would want to go to those companies in those labs where they're making that stuff and look around those labs, and I'll be going in there with a critical eye. I wouldn't be oop and ah and la la loopity because they invited me and I'm supposed to feel like a celebrity because they invited me. I'll be going there to see what they're putting in those products, especially if I'm going to be putting it on me like that. I'll be going over the critical eye, not believing anything they say, and then I'll do my research when I get home and like that. How I do now on the podcast. Not just, ooh, you're invited. Oh, I'm a queen and I go in there. Oh, look what they sent me. Oh, they invited me. Let me see where you're making this stuff at and what these chemicals are. That's what I would be doing. If you got the opportunity going into those laboratories and stuff like that, and you're being a representative of those companies, you should go in there critical and doubting everything. And then they give you a reason not to doubt. Like that. That's what you should do. That's how you should take it. Because in 10 years in the future, they'd be talking about the same, what you were slathering on your face and promoting, because they were sending you gifts and money. They talk about how people are getting canceled from that stuff. So I wouldn't be taking that type of stuff lightly. This is a classic example of the disconnect that happens when a brand focuses more on macro influencers than working with those who would actually be looking for the specific product in the first place. Partnering with a single influencer may gain a brand temporary traction, but tapping recognized industry professionals offers stronger, more meaningful results. I would prefer an influencer that everything they touch, they look critical and they were doubtful about if it was going to work. I would trust that kind. That was doubting the product until the product proved itself to not be something to doubt. But with the companies, are they going to want to send you free stuff and pay you if you're doing that? I feel that when influencers have built up a big following, like millions of followers or hundreds of thousands of followers from giving good reviews, and then they can sprinkle in some bad reviews in it. I wonder if any of them have built a platform of being doubtful of anything that came in front of them and continue to be doubtful of it. Like that. Beauty Tap's experts span the entire beauty gamut with specialized skills and expertise in social media micro communities. Not only do reviewers have their own following and profile pages, which consumers can click and learn more about their skin type, hair type, etc., but they also have better one-on-one engagement. Community members often trust them precisely because they know their input is highly valued and appreciated. Given they learn about the products via multi-tier approach, through master classes with the brands themselves, deep dive editorials, and personally experiencing the products. Exactly. Industry professionals aren't just sent free products. As much as people joke and say, will work for product, this truth is there's a lot more at stake than just getting a job night cream or a new supplement. Any product there the reviewer is willing to put through his paces and then share their honest observations about impacts over their overall reputation. Impacts their overall reputation. Beauty professionals don't accept every offer that comes their way exactly, nor do they want to, because reviewing is not an effortless undertaking. It requires passion and commitment and a critical eye. And it also, I stated, and a critical eye and being able to stand up to those brands and tell them they need to go back to the drawing board with some of these products. Being able to stand up to the brand and tell them that and not feel that it's going to hurt your reputation as a influencer, you're not going to be invited to events and get new stuff. You should be the brand's worst nightmare when you walk into the building and into that room where they're creating those products. They should hate to see you coming because they know honesty has stepped into the room. That's the reputation that I would want with them. Crafting an organized review with genuine touch points that will resonate for others is akin to writing a cover letter for a resume. It's not a free-for-all, anything goes task. Many reviewers, including me, spend hours gathering their thoughts, looking up ingredients, analyzing textures, and imagining the real-life human being the product will appeal to, and creating compelling images and content for their own social pages. And removing all that shiny stuff that distracts the person that is looking at you, get a review so that they can focus on the product at hand. Like that, remove all the shiny, glitzy stuff that's around you that is distracting and beautiful, so you think the product is going to be beautiful at work, and just let us focus on you and the product. Like that. And you just talk about that. And let us hear you talking to these companies and these brands and you being critical and vetting them and interrogating them about their products and their ingredients. Let us hear you doing that. And you still promoting their brands, that you their products that you like, but we see that you're standing up to them and you're interrogating them like that. And then you'll be more believable and it'll be refreshing and different than what we have now. Reputable reviewers have a long-term vision. There will always be people who are willing to exchange their thoughts for a product, but the beauty experts in the Beauty Tap community are evaluated heavily and then held accountable for writing timely, substantive reviews, at least 750 characters, or they can be removed from the program. According to Cliff Beach, Vice President of Digital and Operations for Beauty Tap, our community of beauty experts are vetted to check for significant beauty industry experiences before joining our network. They are given vast product knowledge, education, and are also coached on how to best write deep dive honest reviews. We also thoroughly check all our content on Beauty Tap to strive for 100% quality assurance that reach review is authentic. You're in well written. Okay, you're focused too much on how this stuff is wrote. Okay, and the writing and how it is presenting itself, the box and the bells and whistles and the ribbon on top. Okay, make it where the if the reviewer is standing up to the company and going in there and in when they're doing those chemicals and looking at that and telling that company that this product ain't worth shit and you need to go back to the drawing board, I wouldn't sell that to a piece of sand. And I'm not all ecstatic because you're inviting me here and it is making me feel like I'm a superstar. I'm looking at my reputation and what I'm promoting and getting a tube of lipstick and some aging cream and a $10 check or a $500 check or a $1,000 check ain't worth it. That's what we want to see, something authentic and real as opposed to how it's written in the paragraph and in the indentures in uppercase and lowercase and how it's presented like that. It's best if it's presented, if the product is presented in a room with just the person that is presenting it. Not all that fancy stuff in your house, not all that fancy stuff on your desk, not all that fancy stuff in your kitchen. Just you and the product, so we won't be distracted by all that glittering ain't usually gold like that. And you trying to sell us something by distracting us by all the other beauty around you, and the product you're showing us ain't worth a dime. Like that type of reviewer that is honest and direct and don't care who it hurts. I believe that type of person more than anybody else that writes something good and could write an essay with 750 characters. That's my opinion. Now, that's what they state. So I'm going to get into the reviewing, and we're going to see how that goes. Who's going to wish me luck? Until next time, thanks for listening. Bye.